The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
As we talk about and think of the rigged and stolen election of 2020, presidential election, rigged and stolen, I would like to thank a great woman named Ginny Thomas. Do you know Ginny Thomas? She's a great woman. The wife of a great man, Justice Clarence Thomas, for her courage and strength in saying, according to the standard and routine leaks from the committee. You know, everything leaks out of those committees. They're like a leaking sieve. They're just like a leaking sieve. But she said that she still believes the 2020 election was stolen. She didn't say, oh, well, I'd like not to get involved. Of course, it was a wonderful election. It was a rigged and stolen election. She didn't wait and sit around and say, well, let me give you maybe a different answer that I've been saying for the last 2 years now. Now, she didn't wilt under pressure like so many others that are weak people and stupid people, because once they wilt, they end up being a witness for a long time. She said what she thought. She said what she believed in. Too many Republicans are weak and they're afraid, and they better get strong fast, or you're not going to have a Republican Party and you're not going to have a country anymore.
President Donald Trump there in Michigan over the weekend. I believe that was from Saturday. But there he is praising Ginny Thomas for sticking to her guns. Last week, we told you about just how shocked the propagandists in the media are that anyone would hold to that same position, that the election was stolen. And there's the real president rightfully pointing out that too many Republicans, and we've made this point so many times before on this show, but too many Republicans are just weak and afraid. He's completely right. Weak and afraid. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this fine Monday morning here in Oklahoma. Beautiful, beautiful last few days in central Oklahoma. Hopefully it's very nice where you are as well. You can get to the live video stream of this show through our website, thetrumpet.com. That would be thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you right to the live stream page, and you can also listen to these programs on demand, either at the front page of the website or at that address I just gave to you. Also, the email address, if you'd like to contact the program or give us some feedback, it's td@thetrumpet.com. And the 800 number so that you can order this and more, America Under Attack. So much of it's amazing. It's amazing to me. And we'll play the clip in just a minute. But to think about Donald Trump, the most popular leader in the United States right now, by far. And he's talking in Michigan in front of thousands of people on TV. I think Newsmax still carries the rallies that he has live. Certainly Right Side Broadcasting does online. But there he is talking about the communist attack on the United States. Here again, tomorrow's news today. What about he was right as well? He was right. There's an entire chapter in this brochure on the communist attack against the United States. Of course, that's what America Under Attack is all about. So the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. Our operators are standing by. You can even make those lit requests during our fall festival. That's coming up quick. We've got Atonement on Wednesday. And of course, the Feast of Tabernacles begins this next week, next Sunday night, Monday. So even if some of us are out of pocket, there certainly will be those on hand to take your literature requests. Listen to what Donald Trump, again, had to say about the stolen election. This is clip five.
But frankly, your vote is the only thing that can stop it. So on November 8th, Michigan Patriots have to shatter every record because they cheat like hell, these people. They cheat like hell. Remember, they said, oh, no, there was no corruption in Detroit, none whatsoever. For 50 years, it's been known as the most. They said, no, we found no votes. No votes. What happened to all those votes? It's a shame. A shame what happened. Who would have thought our elections are so rigged and crooked? Who would have thought our borders are open? They want no voter ID.
That's right. Stolen elections have some consequences, that's for sure. This is a story we weren't able to get to last week. It's from The Federalist. It says the House of Representatives passed legislation on Wednesday to overhaul the 1887 Electoral Count Act and rewrite election rules to benefit Democrats. They want, like he says there, they want no voter ID. They've got a wide open border at the South. They want anyone to come along. It's just too hard for them to get an ID, so just let them vote. Just let them vote. They'd make a good fake ballot. There were quite a few of those, millions in fact, in 2020. It says here the bill proposed by GOP Wyoming Rep. Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney's leading the way, the most unpopular politician in Washington, for sure. She lost her primary in a landslide a few weeks back. She's not even returning to Congress, but this is what she's gifting the American people on the way out. Rewriting election rules so that the Democrats, she's supposed to be a Republican, but no, she's a Democrat in Republican clothing. And she's helping to rewrite election rules. It says here, Cheney's Presidential Election Reform Act became the Democrats' answer to their failed effort to overrule state election laws in H.R. 1. That's what they were trying to do last year, desperately, because they know they can't win unless they cheat. Unless they're able to rig an election, like they did 2 years ago. It says, which Senate Republicans blocked last summer. The legislation carries some of the same provisions of the doomed election bill at the top of Democrats' congressional agenda. Just 9 Republicans supported the bill. And it's, again, all the same usual suspects, the ones that voted for impeachment and so on. But here are these Democrats screaming at Jenny Thomas and anyone else who would believe it was rigged and stolen in 2020, even as they sometimes, even in the same sentence, go on and on how it was rigged and stolen in 2016. I think Steve Hilton from Fox News summed it up best over the weekend. This is clip 2.
Okay, so when Democrats challenge voting procedures and outcomes, they're just, you know, standing up for the constitutional order. But when Republicans do it, they're election deniers. And now, of course, on top of the Democrats' election denial, as the Supreme Court starts a new term, the Democrats are challenging its legitimacy, too, because they didn't like the decisions it made in its last term. You want to talk about the erosion of democracy, MSNBC? Start with the Democratic Party.
Whenever it works against them, that's when democracy is under threat. If they lose an election, then it must be because democracy has failed. If they win an election, they'll throw you in jail if you call it into question. They literally are putting people in jail for this. If you look at root causes behind the January 6th hoax and all those things, it all goes back to November 3rd, 2020. But to his point about how that they scream cheating, rigged elections, like in the case of 2016. Matt Taibbi, I think is how you pronounce his name. We've quoted from some of his writings quite a lot over the years. This is a longer montage. We tried to trim it back just a tad. But listen to these people go on and on about the illegitimacy of Donald Trump. We've played some of these clips before. There's quite a few new ones in this. It's just a powerful message. It goes on for about 3 minutes. But listen to what Taibbi put together. This is clip 1.
So if we're all in agreement that it is incorrect to say the 2020 election was stolen, what about the 2016 election?
Look, I'm not going to
go back into history.
He's an illegitimate president.
You know, pretending to be president.
Why do you think the president is going to such great lengths to essentially prove that he beat you?
Because he didn't.
1/3 of Clinton supporters say Trump election is not legitimate.
I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win.
You are absolutely right.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
The 2016 election was stolen.
Say Russia hacked the election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our elections.
A little louder, please.
Russia hacked our election. That was a 9/11 scale event.
This was a kind of cyber 9/11.
Russia, of course, hacked our election here.
Half of Clinton's voters believe the conspiracy theory that Russia hacked Election Day votes.
Actual interference with the elections themselves. We know it happened.
Despite no credible evidence, 67% of Democrats believe Russia tampered with vote tallies.
Hacking the U.S. election.
Hacking the U.S. election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russian hacking of our election.
Hacking of our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
The universal assessment that Russia hacked our election in 2016.
Foreign governments hacked our elections.
Most young Americans consider Donald Trump an illegitimate president.
He's an illegitimate president.
Why is he illegitimate? He just won an election.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind.
I absolutely agree.
Experts urge Clinton camp to challenge election results.
We will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
He's an illegitimate president.
Russia hacked our election.
Russians hacking our election.
Hacked our election.
Russia hacking our election.
I don't see the president-elect as a legitimate president.
Clinton voters call to overturn election results.
More than 4 million people have already signed a petition on change.org calling for the electors of the Electoral College to, quote, ignore their states' votes and cast their ballots for Secretary Clinton.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016.
We are the victims of a bloodless coup.
Electoral College, make Hillary Clinton president.
Well, Trump is an illegitimate president.
Illegitimate president.
Dems don't accept Trump as a legitimate president.
This wasn't on the level.
He got his victory from cheating.
Yes, Trump cheated.
He's
an illegitimate president.
No validity, no credibility.
Donald Trump has got to go.
It will not be a peaceful change of power.
A number of incidents turned violent. Protesters hurled trash cans, flash bombs, and objects at police.
Several officers injured.
Protesters threw rocks and smashed windows, leading to more confrontations, injuries, and arrests.
The chaotic scene just blocks outside the secure area of the inauguration.
If denying election results is extreme now.
Yeah. So let's be really clear. That comparison that you made is just ridiculous.
It's a ridiculous comparison. So it's easy, obviously, to point out the hypocrisy here or to say that they're guilty of what they're accusing others of. But it goes a lot deeper than this. Obama just gave this interview, or his remarks were revealed through a Freedom of Information Act. And Bloomberg has the story. It's very revealing. It takes you into the mind of Antiochus in those final days before he left the White House and Donald Trump came in. But you can see from that montage just how they were justified in doing everything possible to steal the election back in 2020. They had to. They had to. If Trump cheats, we're going to cheat. And they did. This interview with Obama, he gave it on January 17th, 2017. Again, just days before he left the White House. And in it, apparently it's off the record. So he's telling these reporters, he's saying, look, okay, I think we can manage with 4 years of Trump, but we cannot stand for 8 years. He will ruin everything if he goes on for 8 years. So Obama was the one who orchestrated all of this. Even those people, all of them, Democrats top to bottom, saying he's illegitimate, he cheated, and the Russians hacked it. Obama's Department of Justice is the one that started all with that nonsense. Remember, he said before the 2016 election, there's no way that it could possibly be stolen. This is what he said when he knew Hillary was going to win. You know, our elections are decentralized. They're taken care of at the local levels. Each state has a way in. There's the electors. There's all these safety valves in place. So there's no way it can be stolen. And as soon as Donald Trump shocked the world, it was Obama and his Department of Justice. It was Obama's Department of Justice that went after Trump and tried to get rid of him even before 4 years was up, as we know from the Russia collusion hoax and the Mueller investigation, all the impeachments. They wanted him out as soon as possible. But in this interview with Bloomberg, He's there telling reporters, there's no way it can go more than 4 years. This is from Bloomberg. It says here, for Obama, one Trump term wasn't a big worry, but 8 years would be a problem. It says here, Barack Obama told reporters in his last days as president that he wasn't worried about a single Donald Trump term, but was concerned about a sustained period of political norms being undermined if he served two terms, according to newly released documents obtained by Bloomberg News. See, Obama's the norm, you know, the one that wants to fundamentally transform the United States from top to bottom. And Donald Trump, who actually is a patriot, he saw Donald Trump as an existential threat to this fundamental transformation. It's exactly the opposite, you see, of everything that they're saying in that montage, of everything that this man says. Barack Obama, I mean. It says here, Obama met with reporters days before Trump's inauguration on January 17, 2017, for an off-the-record conversation. I mean, this is basically Antiochus giving marching orders. And, of course, it wasn't just the press. I mean, we had Comey and Brennan and Clapper in the background. We had this illegal wiretapping, this unconstitutional spying, the lying to the FISA courts. They had everything in motion to attack the United States of America, to attack the Donald Trump administration, a legitimately elected president of the United States. It says here, a White House transcript of the meeting, which was never reported under the ground rules agreed upon by the journalists, was included in the cache of documents released by the Justice Department in response to a Freedom of Information Act request. As I was reading through this morning, it does make you wonder how many more conversations are going to be revealed before this is over, before this attack is completely exposed. It's being exposed. America is under attack. As I say, to listen to Donald Trump, the most popular leader in America, listen to what he said again in Michigan from Saturday, clip 7.
If the communists win, and now we're talking communists, we don't say socialist anymore because we've already skipped over socialist. But I'm afraid we have never had, I don't believe we'll ever have a fair election again. I don't believe it.
If the communists win, that's what he's saying. So again, he says, look, we're past the spread of socialism through Bernie and AOC and all that. This is a communist attack. And they win in the next few weeks. That's it. It's over. Because this is the way they operate. This is the way they work all over the world. They get in there and then they rig elections. They cheat in order to win every single time. If this were to go on long enough, I mean, they'd be pulling in Vladimir Putin numbers. Yeah, they won 95% of the vote. How about that? This Bloomberg piece says here, quoting Obama, I think that 4 years is okay. Take on some water, but we kind of bail fast enough to be okay. 8 years would be a problem, said Antiochus. 8 years is a problem. So if he gets in there, he cannot be reelected. And so they pulled out all the stops. They're giving the game away here. Can you connect the dots? You put it all together, COVID, the mail-in ballots, and all of the drop boxes late at night, the computer glitches that all worked in the favor of Biden, the fact that Biden was the basement candidate, the fact that Obama said, I'd love to run things from my basement, and he is. He stayed right there in D.C., running that shadow government, that shadow operation, all during the Trump years. And now he's secured his third term, illegitimately, and good for Ginny Thomas to stick to her guns. Yeah, to go ahead and tell the January 6th committee that to their faces, and then walk out of the room with a smile. Why not? Where is the courage of so many of these Republicans, as Donald Trump said there in that opening clip? They're too afraid. They're weak and they're afraid. They won't stand up to the attack. 8 years would be a problem, Obama said, "I would be concerned about a sustained period in which some of these norms have broken down and started to corrode." I mean, all the transformation of the United States, the fundamental transformation, I'd be concerned that Trump would reverse a lot of it. And he had good reason to be concerned about that. Listen to this. This is especially rich. Obama said his number one concern about the incoming Trump administration was the potential politicization of law enforcement. Can you believe this? This is exactly what he was doing and is doing today, and everybody sees it now. Everybody can see it. This Mar-a-Lago raid, just skipping ahead here for a moment. It's an article from Issues and Insights, and it's the Mar-a-Lago raid has changed the way a lot of people perceive the DOJ and the FBI to be. It says one standard of justice for one group, but another for a different group. Even though that sounds distinctly un-American, many voters believe that's happening today in America's courts and legal venues, it says, and it seems to be getting worse, according to a recent poll. It says here, the latest online survey of 1,277 voters found a significant increase from 63% to 71% of those saying they agreed that we now have a two-tiered system of justice. This is thanks to Obama. That's right. It's Obama's DOJ that's raiding the house of the former president, Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't politicize anything. In fact, you could make a pretty strong case for the fact that he should have politicized more, that he should have unleashed Bill Barr and others to stop this kind of cheating, this kind of criminality happening at the highest levels of government in the city of D.C. Trump came in saying it was a swamp, calling it the deep state. He was right. It says here, to this talk of legal and judicial bias, part of the two-tier justice system Americans see operating, has come to a head in recent months as dozens of subpoenas have been issued to allies and friends of Trump. Any subpoenas issued to allies and friends of Barack Obama? None of them have been held to account. Even as all of this rottenness, this sickness from within is being exposed, I'm kind of amazed that this story from Bloomberg even came out. Here's Obama. He's already got the DOJ, all the watchdogs there, going after Trump, even before Trump got into the White House in 2017. And then he's sitting down there with an off-the-record, 3 days before he leaves. It's off the record, but he's got the journalists around, and he's saying, look, maybe we can tolerate 4 years here, but 8 years would be a problem. That's the marching orders. Those journalists knew what was happening. Certainly, if they didn't write then and there, they knew about the Steele dossier, how bogus that was. These are not stupid people. They're just communists. And so they're all part of the attack. They were all in on it. And sometimes these kinds of off-the-record moments, it gives the game away. They can't help themselves. We've got to get them out. 4 years is as long as we can tolerate the bad orange man. We've got to get him out. We will do anything to prevent him from going on for 4 years. That's basically the message that Obama gave to reporters, newsmen and women, journalists. And they talk about democracy. And they talk about his illegitimacy and how that he cheated and how he did it with the Russians. Where's the evidence? Where, if he stole the election, okay, let's look at it. There is no evidence. Nothing. That's quite a devastating montage put together by Tabi, as I say. This is Obama said his number one concern about the incoming Trump administration was the potential politicization of law enforcement. He advised reporters at the time to pay close attention to the Justice Department. Well, look at the Justice Department. You think they're really paying close attention? In the way that they should? They like the fact that there's a lot of Obama people in there and that they're using these federal law enforcement agencies to target and to persecute their political opponents. Trump brought this out in the rally. I'll play the clip a little bit later. This is a story from last week I couldn't get to. It says here, the Obama Foundation stored classified documents in an abandoned furniture warehouse, according to a 2018 letter from the Obama Foundation to the National Archives and Records Administration. So here again, I guess this came about as a result of another FOIA request. Very revealing. You get some of those communications between Obama and his people, and someone has the courage to blow the whistle or at least to seek it through a Freedom of Information Act. It says here, this is quoting the Obama people, the Obama Foundation agrees to transfer up to $3,300,000 to the National Archives Trust Fund to support the move of classified and unclassified Obama presidential records and artifacts from Hoffman Estates to NARA-controlled facilities that conform to the agency's archival storage standards for such records and artifacts. This is basically a warehouse somewhere in Chicago next to a Chick-fil-A or something. And they admit there's classified documents there. And they're still there. The contract is extended to 2026. Even as your DOJ says, Trump, with the documents, did we say documents? Mar-a-Lago, they were boxes. Even in Melania's closet. One standard for the Obama people and another for the Trump people. Another for just ordinary Americans too. Patriots. And more see it, as that Insights and Issues article brings out, a two-tiered standard of justice. Listen to Donald Trump again from Saturday, clip six.
They're trying to wipe out free speech, crush religious liberty, confiscate your guns, indoctrinate your children, criminalize dissent, and even put their political opponents in prison. I think they'd like to see me in prison. Can you imagine? I think they'd like... You know why? You know why? Because they're sick. They're sick people. The Biden administration is completely corrupt, jailing political opponents just like the Soviet Union, now Russia. The Soviet Union, now Russia. Think of it. We're being compared to that by many, many people because of what's happening with the criminal justice system. I think it's the criminal injustice system.
We've made that point on this program before, the Department of Injustice. This article from Zero Hedge, they, as he said there, they'd love to put him in prison. That's what the goal is. There's a few judges right now, or I guess one in particular, that's slowing up that process, the indictment of Donald Trump. He's the biggest target because they cannot have him in there for 8 years. Can't happen. Zero Hedge, the FBI team that seized documents from former President Donald Trump's Florida resort improperly viewed communications between Trump and his attorney, or an attorney, violating attorney-client privilege for a third time. Here is the Obama Department of Justice just sifting through all of these communications between Donald Trump and his attorneys, which violates attorney-client privilege. So Donald Trump can't even have privilege with his attorneys. He can't have a privileged discussion with his attorney without Obama spying on it. And what was Obama most worried about on the way out? He told those journalists, now, you keep your eye on the Department of Justice because I fear that Trump has politicized it. Oh, really? Like I say, that's especially rich coming from Obama. Says here, the filter process set up by the government, well, basically, just to make that point, here they are snooping away, just like they did before Donald Trump even got in there on January 20th, 2017. And just days before that, there's Emperor Obama sitting down with the reporters telling them, look, we're going to get him out. We've got to. And maybe we can stand for 4 years of this, but we can't go for eight. That's for sure. This is the Washington Examiner's take on those discussions that Obama had with the reporters. It says, Obama warned reporters that the media were not credible in the public eye and that they needed to focus when it came to reporting on Trump. That's Obama's way of saying, look, you're not real credible. Really, what he was saying is, you're not really credible in my eyes. I'm Antiochus. And for you to be credible in my eyes, you've got to swoon before me, and then you've got to attack the bad orange man. You've got to go after Trump. You read between the lines. You know what's happening here. It says here, I think you're jumping after every insult or terrible thing or bit of rudeness that he's doing and just chasing that. You see, you're going after the mean tweets, but you need to be going after him. He's the target. And he and Michelle did that. I mean, it continued all through those 4 years. And then look at what they accomplished right after, or right at the end of Trump's presidency, when they got him out of there illegitimately, and illegitimately installed Joe Biden, the basement candidate. They got Trump banned from Twitter and all those things. So which Department of Justice has been politicized? Is it politicized in the favor of Trump or in the favor of Obama? Well, anyone with eyes to see knows what's happening here. It says here, I think you have to focus on a couple of things that are really important and just stay on them and drive them home. This is Obama. This is quoting Obama. Just focus on a couple of things, stay on them, and drive them home. Like what? Well, Trump, Russia collusion. The election was stolen. Focus on that. He's illegitimate. And they did. Boy, did they. They still do. There's some in the media that can't let the Trump-Russia collusion hoax go. They can't let it go. The Examiner says, Obama said he thought Republicans were showing no shame, a trait he did not believe was duplicated among Democrats. They're righteous, the Democrats, said Obama. The Republicans have no shame. So this is, he's lecturing the reporters, just so that we all know. I'm about to leave the White House, but let's make sure we know, you know, which side we're on here. Obama added that he was worried about the U.S. no longer being active on certain issues, such as climate change, women's rights, human rights, and LGBTQ rights when attending world summits. That's what the United States needs to represent at world summits, LGBTQ. Town Hall's take is this. Obama gave an off-the-record interview to reporters discussing several different topics, warning that Trump wouldn't hold up what Democrats have already accomplished. He was warning reporters. What kind of a discussion is this? Obama? The great Obama. People swooned before him. That's an America under attack. Read what happened. Michael Hastings, I think, was his name. And then he dies mysteriously a few months later after tweeting out or telling someone personally, I'm on a big story. I'm on an in-depth investigation right now. He dies. He's the one that said everybody swoons. He even admitted he did. Yeah, we all kind of swoon before Obama. Do you give him the hardball questions? Oh, no. No, no, no. And yet here's Obama now, just days before leaving the White House, lecturing the reporters, the ones that he persecuted and spied on. Oh, yeah, especially if you're a whistleblower. Obama went and threw you in prison. Who politicized what here? You know the answer. If you've been reading our literature, if you've been studying the truth, that'll set you free. The 800 number to order America Under Attack, 1-866-930-3024. Everything Obama was worried about in January of 2017 is exactly what Obama has done. Barack Obama weaponized the DOJ and the FBI. Barack Obama is the one who was quite happy for Russia and other countries to take the lead and for the U.S. to take a back seat. Barack Obama was quite happy to really stick a thumb in the eye of all of the traditional allies of the United States of America. And it's Barack Obama who went after political opponents to the point of putting some of them in prison. And he's still going. He's still going after Donald Trump. This is from America Under Attack. Again, the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. My father writes, Barack Obama spent his 8 years as president doing exactly the opposite of what he told Donald Trump, advancing his agenda to weaken those democratic institutions and traditions in pursuit of his supreme stated goal of fundamentally transforming the United States of America. It says, after leaving office, Mr. Obama continued to pursue this goal. He spearheaded the effort to harm Donald Trump's Make America Great agenda, an effort that included illegally spying on him and impeaching him twice. He directed the radical left's treasonous battle to prevent Mr. Trump from being reelected at all costs. Well, because maybe we can get by with just 4 years of Trump, but it can't be eight. That's what Obama said to those reporters just days before leaving the White House back in 2017. Listen again to Donald Trump from over the weekend in Michigan, clip four.
If we get two more years of Democrat rule, your finances, your family, your community, and your country might never recover. You may never recover. This is so bad. Between what's happened to our military, what's happened to our border, what's happened to our finances, what's happened to this country, you may not recover, but we will save the day. We will save the day.
You let them get more power or stay in power, and the United States may not recover. He's right. He's right. There's Donald Trump's warning to America and to any reporters who might be listening. And then, you've got Barack Obama's warning, the off-the-record conversation he has with those reporters, where he says, 4 years okay, but not a day longer. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with our Bible study. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget about the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
We emphasize quite a lot in the college sphere some of the classes and lectures that the students are able to receive here during their time as an AC student. We emphasize just how important it is to view this physical life as training ground. We are in training for something much, much bigger, for a lot more responsibility than what you might have in a marriage to a spouse or with your family, your children. There's a lot of responsibility, of course, for a father and a mother when the children come along. But God is a family. And so God is preparing us to rule. He's preparing us to marry Jesus Christ and to bring forth billions and billions of God beings into the family of God. Mystery of the Ages goes through this, the God family vision, quite a lot of literature, the incredible human potential. You can get to all of that with that 800 number I've been giving you today, 1-866-930-3024. Notice 2 Timothy, this is chapter 1, and verse 8. It says here, "Be not you therefore ashamed, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be you partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Don't be ashamed or become apologetic for this gospel that we preach. Timothy, as you can see in just looking at the entire chapter, 2 Timothy 1, he was discouraged. He saw a lot of people fall away from the truth. And Paul was saying, you're going to have to rely more on the power of God to stand against the devil. And then if you continue reading into chapter 2, he encouraged Paul to just be thinking about, you know, raising up others who can then lead and teach in training, you see, to help in God's work. Verse 9, it says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Just look to the power of God's Spirit and have faith in this purpose and plan that's working out here below. I mean, God had this in mind before the world began, as it says there in verse 9. Verse 10 says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." You see how encouraging this must have been for Paul. I mean, he's sitting in jail awaiting his execution, but as he's thinking about that crown that was laid up for him, that position that he had qualified for, that marriage to Jesus Christ, that's how he could face death and still maintain godly joy. That's hard to do. You've got to be a man or a woman of vision and faith to be able to see beyond the physical realm, to be able to set your mind on the things above. It takes the mind of Jesus Christ. He was able to do that. Philippians 2 and verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you," the same mind that Jesus had. This is from our book, The God Family Vision. My father writes, "The Logos, a member of the Godhead, spilled his blood for us. Now he's offering the first fruits, his hand in marriage." Wow. The more I think about this, the more I am inspired to want to think even more about it, my father says. You can meditate on this for the rest of your life and still get more depth out of it. See, this is, as I say, this is something we emphasize throughout our marriage and family class in particular, the fact that we are preparing for that marriage to Jesus Christ. We are preparing for family living on the God level. Colossians 3, and verse 1, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God." My father gave a program last year on setting your affections on heavenly things. Remember Matthew 6 and verse 33 from the Sermon on the Mount there, that memory verse that I gave to you last week in a study. "Seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness." Set your mind, your heart, on the heavenly sphere. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are, of all men, most miserable." We're just going to end up miserable if we set our hearts on physical things, if it's only on this life. And to be sure, there are responsibilities and jobs and we have to be a provider, all those things. I mean, there are a lot of physical things that we attend to. But where's the focus? What do we set our hearts on? Verse 2, again, it says, "Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." Set your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things. This is from a Royal Vision article. I don't have the author here. I think it might be my father, but it's from last August. It says, "We need to keep our minds on the Father and Jesus Christ. Set your affection where the Father and Son are set. Christ is risen and seated at the Father's right hand, And they both tell us, this is where we want you to set your affection. This is where your real passion needs to be. God the Father, Christ the Son, they want us to be as passionate and our affections to be set on the same things that they're interested in, that they're excited about. That same article says, this is not easy. How can you set your affection so ardently on something that is above, something you cannot physically see? It isn't something we naturally do. We must work very hard at this. This is not something that comes natural. It does take work. It does take work to look to God and His family in that heavenly sphere. It says in the God Family Vision book, one of these immortal beings gave up all this power. Why? Out of love for a family, even if it meant risking everything. This is why John was in such awe. You see, God sent His own Son to this earth. John 3 and verse 16 says that He did it because He loved this world, because He wants to build a family, the family of God. And so these two, God the Father, Christ the Son, the Word who became Christ, these two, this is how passionate they are about family. They risked everything for it. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Here again, just going back to how difficult this is to really maintain that godly focus, to really set our minds on the things above. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, that is the outward or physical man, though it's perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. So each day, you see, we need that spiritual renewal so that we can have a right spiritual focus through the day, so that we can be thinking about the things of God that day. And as I read to you, I mean, that's very difficult to do, and it doesn't come naturally. What does come naturally is for us to just set our hearts on physical things, on the physical realm, and to think that, well, I don't really have time for God. I don't really have time to talk to God in prayer or to study His Word, or to go through this literature that He always mentions on the program. Verse 17, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We do have trials and tests. We do have sufferings in this physical life, but comparatively, it's just a light affliction. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 18 that they're not even worthy to compare the sufferings that we have in this flesh, that they're not even worthy to be compared to our coming glory in God's family, in God's kingdom. Verse 18 here to finish in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We've got to set our minds on the things that you can't even see. And again, that's not easy. But where is the focus of our hearts? What is the ultimate reality in our minds? The physical realm, including our own physical bodies, they're constantly changing and even wearing out. We just have a short time on this earth, and God wants to see if we'll really put our hearts, our focus, on the spiritual, on the eternal, on that reality that will never deteriorate or decay. Supposing you lose your life in the flesh, or it ends because of age or some illness or injury, in your next waking moment, the Bible, of course, speaks of physical death as just sleep. Because in the next waking moment, if you were truly converted, if the Spirit of God was dwelling in your mind, then you're going to be a righteous, brilliant, immortal spirit being. That's awesome to think about. We should walk by faith and not by sight. With God's help, we can, we will. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 48, notice this. It says here, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. It says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. First the physical, then the spiritual. We go through this physical life, it's just meant to be a training ground for our spiritual inheritance, for our spiritual glory. 1 John 3 and verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to see Jesus Christ at his return, at his appearance, before all the earth. And we talked about this at length last week with some of our studies. But we're going to see him as he is. We're going to marry him, the first fruits, the bride of Jesus Christ. This is the ultimate reality. It should be. It can be the ultimate reality in our minds. In John's Gospel, The Love of God, this is another book by my father. I'm not sure if I have that one here. I don't think I do. But it says this, is that marriage to Jesus Christ, is that marriage vivid in your mind? Do you think about when the marriage is consummated and you're in that headquarters temple with Jesus Christ? It says, I know that God's very elect have this vision in their minds, but is it deep enough in your mind to cause you to rejoice in your worst trial? I've seen some pretty remarkable examples, extraordinary examples of individuals very near the end of their physical lives struggling through a sore trial, a physical trial of some kind, and yet maintaining an incredible spiritual focus, the ultimate, making sure that the spiritual, God's family, was the ultimate in their mind's eye. I mean, that's what they were aiming for. That's what they set their minds on. It doesn't come naturally, and it's not easy to do, even when you're struggling through sickness, even when you're very near the end of your life, your physical life. But sometimes you see people that get a sharper, more vivid spiritual focus toward the end when they are struggling through a trial or a test. And God must see that as just a beautiful quality of character. In the former prophet's book, it says, God's family is the most profound truth in the Bible. It's the most wonderful, inspiring revelation from God, but we must be very humble for God to reveal it to us. Our loving Father yearns to reveal this fabulous potential. What a ghastly failure it is when God reveals it and we become lukewarm about such a vision. That's what's happened to most of God's people in these last days. They had this family vision. They had this family plan. They had Mystery of the Ages in the case of many of them back in 1986. They had Mystery of the Ages handed to them at the Feast of Tabernacles. And yet they lost the vision. This vision that had been hidden for ages, as Colossians 1 says, and revealed in these last days, this family plan. The Laodiceans became lukewarm with this precious truth, and they cast it away. It didn't excite them. They weren't interested in it. My father says here, the God family understanding will be the foundation of education in the coming world. The foundation of education in the wonderful world of tomorrow. It's going to be the God family understanding that God's given to us in this church. This family plan, so simple in the explanation anyway, but very, very difficult to carry out with that proper godly focus. We'll talk more about this as we proceed over the course of this week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us for today's show. We'll see you tomorrow.